This edition of The Wellness Prescription is brought to you by Healthy Planet, helping the people of the world to live healthy lives.
Welcome, everyone. This is The Wellness Prescription on 105.9 The Region. I'm Dr. Claudia. Thank you for joining me today. My guest is Tom Rapsis, author of Wake Up Call, Daily Insights for the Spiritually Curious, but otherwise considered a regular guy. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Great to be here. Thank you, Dr. Claudia.
Why do you like to refer to yourself, or why do people refer to you as just a regular guy?
Sure. You know, I wrote this book about spirituality, and I guess the regular guy part comes from my background. I mean, I'm not from the world of academia. I'm not a theologian. I'm not a psychiatrist. I come from the working world. I mean, I worked a 9-to-5 job in advertising for just about 40 years now. So I consider myself a regular guy in that I was part of the corporate world for a very long time. And I kind of developed my spirituality within that context.
And that's why I find it so fascinating, because yes, you're a regular guy. So what made you become spiritually curious?
Well, you know, it started probably about 10 years into my career in advertising. I think over those first 10 years, I jumped jobs quite a bit. I was getting promotions, maybe, you know, moving for more money. But over the first 10 years, I switched jobs 8 times. And at a certain point, I realized, hey, there's something missing. And at the time, I was, working hard, partying a lot, dating a lot. And whatever I was looking for, I wasn't finding. And then my thought was, you know what? There's got to be a better way. And I think I found that way just by pursuing various spiritual topics and developing my own spiritual practice.
And in all of that excitement for the first 10 years of your career, because it is an exciting lifestyle, you know, you're working, you're partying, you're interacting, you're networking. Was there like that burning feeling that something was still missing and you weren't completely fulfilled? Is that what the feeling was that propelled you to kind of search something else out?
Yeah. I can honestly say I'd almost call it a yearning. It's a feeling in the pit of your stomach that something is not quite right, that really something's missing. And as well as many facets of my life were going, I felt like there was a missing puzzle piece. And again, I'll call it a yearning inside. And I think I had to try to satisfy that yearning, which I eventually did through spirituality.
I was completely fascinated with your breakthrough about the comprehensive nature of the term spirituality. So there's more to it than simply like soul and spirit. What is that more? What do you mean by that?
I mean, your spirituality, it's kind of an interior process. But if you keep it inside you, then it's kind of coming up short. So I think what you want to do as you develop spiritually is really kind of bring that to the outside world. And I'm not talking about, talking about the subject of spirituality, but basically being kinder, being humbler, taking care of the people around you. And that includes your family, your friends, your community. You want to share what you've learned and this perhaps new person you're becoming with those around you. And, I guess for me, this spiritual path is really a full circle view of life. It just covers a lot of areas. It's not just interior, it's exterior and how you're treating those around you, friends, family, coworkers.
Now, you could have easily turned, changed, like learned a lot about yourself, and you could have gone down the path of like trying to be a shaman and an intense yogi, but instead you didn't do that. You continued to work in your 9-to-5 job, but you also continued on the search for something deeper in your life. What made you just continue living the way you were living, but just seek out more for yourself?
Well, to be honest with you, I mean, it really is about enjoying life, and a career becomes a means to an end. It allows you to enjoy life. It lets you live in a nice house. We talked earlier about vacationing. It lets you go on nice vacations every year. And I really didn't want to lose that aspect of life. I mean, there are some people that will totally drop out of society. I'm acquainted with a couple who will leave the business world. And I know one person that moved to India for a decade and joined an ashram and took a vow of poverty. But honestly, that was just not part of my makeup. I in my 30s, I got married, eventually had a family, and I enjoyed, you know, parts of life that come with a career and come with making money. Didn't want to give that up, but honestly, I didn't have to. I was able to add that spiritual dimension without giving up my career.
And that's what I love about your book, because it taught me and it helped me understand that, you know, I can live my life the way I'm already living, but I could be more aware of the kindness, of the giving, of the greater power that's out there, and not really give up anything. Because I think a lot of people think that spirituality means that you have to do that. You have to become, you know, you have to take an oath of poverty and you have to not live life and you can't vacation, you can't spend money. I believe that it's actually the opposite. I think all of that spiritual enlightening leads you down a path where you're really enjoying life, because that's what we are entitled to.
Agree totally. You know, it reminds me of a story. I think the other aspect of becoming a more spiritual person is I don't go out and really preach it to those around me. They can find it in my weekly column or my book. But I think the spiritual aspect informs what you do, but doesn't totally take over your life. I mean, an anecdote is there was this wise teacher, and he had several students that he was tutoring. And one day he was out in the market, and he saw some students bragging about their spiritual learnings. And he caught up with them later that day, and he said, "You know, you come to me with the dirt of the world on your hands, and what I'm doing is giving you the soap to get that dirt off. But you don't go back in the world with the soap on your hands. You actually put your hands into the water, you wash them off, and then you go into the world." So I think that's kind of been my modus operandi. If someone wants to talk to me about spirituality, I'm more than open to it. But really, it's just been to inform how I carry myself in the world and how I relate to the people around me.
And so when you embarked on the journey, how many years ago now? Probably like 30 years ago?
Yes, I guess it is 30 years if we're counting. Yeah, it's been a while. And I'll be honest with you, it's been a you know, long process. I mean, every journey, you know, starts with a single step. And it's by step, by step, by step that, you know, at various points in my life, you know, you can feel like, you know, I kind of got it now, or I feel better about, you know, certain things in life.
And that's my question. So when you started to embark on this spiritual journey, what did you notice changed in you? And was it immediate, or was it this gradual shift that you're talking about?
It's not immediate, and the reason for that is because we all have we're all pretty much, especially in the West, we're pretty ego driven, and the ego is that voice in our head that is always kind of telling us what to do. It's often based on what the societal norms are, so we often kind of listen to that voice. And that voice can be hard to suppress. I know there's a guy, C.M. Harris, that he calls it the roommate. I mean, you go about your life and you have this voice. You may walk in your house and your roommate follows you from room to room, kind of badgering you, saying, "Why don't you do this? Why didn't you do that? You do this, do that." And I think it does take a while to kind of suppress that voice and get in touch with the soul. I mean, for me, I think the soul is where your true self lives. And to really get in touch with your soul, you've got to kind of quiet the ego, the voice of the ego. And that can take a while. I mean, there are ways to do it we can talk about, but it can take a while to quiet the voice of ego, which I should point out is always interested in short-term gains. It wants happiness for the moment. Where the soul is looking, you know, it comes from a more long-term perspective. You're trying to find happiness in the long term. So long answer short is, yeah, it does take a while, but you make progress step by step.
And I think that's what I'm trying to convey, is that you can't expect to just say, okay, I'm going to be more spiritual and that's it, you're done. It's about growing and understanding and learning about, you know, the laws basically of the universe. We're learning about the laws of the universe. And I always like to look at it like, energy out is energy in. So whatever you're giving out there, whatever vibes, whatever, you know, whatever you're doing for other people is really going to come back at you, because that's just how it works. So I love that it's a journey and you practice it daily. And that's why in your book, you talk about consciously engaging in sacraments in our daily lives. What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, the big movement these days is SBNR, spiritual but not religious. And really, that's just a phrase that people will use. But if you truly consider yourself spiritual, you should have some kind of practice involved. And really, that practice can be very simple. I mean, it starts by finding time to be alone. I mean, for me, one of my favorite times of day is just in the morning when I first wake up, grab a cup of coffee. These days, sit on the sofa in front of a fireplace, but it can be anywhere. And really, just sitting in solitude, just sitting in quiet, kind of calming the mind a bit, trying to get a little bit centered. I mean, that is the first step. You have to find some time for solitude. And I mentioned the morning. For other people, if you have a family, you might be better off at night when everyone goes to bed. Start by finding those 15 minutes where you're alone with your thoughts, hopefully not negative thoughts running through your head or a chattering mind, but really just finding the time to be quiet with yourself. Once you reach that point, once you get those 15 minutes, then there's certain things you can do as you build your spiritual practice. And one of the things I've avoided for many years because I didn't get it was meditation. And I think you can add a simple meditation practice to that quiet time in the morning, at night, and you can find that it really can help you quite a bit. And really, meditation is as simple as quieting the mind, and there's tricks to do that, and they're pretty simple. You can quiet the mind by simply focusing on your breath. Breath in, breath out. Breath in, breath out. Or you find a simple mantra. And I know one mantra that's just, you know, popular is, but it can be a phrase. It can be a simple phrase. And it can be, life is good. Life is good. What that does is it distracts the mind from thinking, and basically puts you in a place where you're giving the mind a rest. And from that rest, I think you kind of, after a while, you come away from it feeling a little more calmer, a little more centered. And as your practice continues, you will eventually develop the ability to tap into that resource throughout the day. Once you know what that quiet place feels like, you can be at work, you can be in a very stressful situation, and you can kind of get the mind to click back to, oh, that was nice when I was meditating today. Take a quick breath in, a quick breath out, calm yourself, center yourself.
I adore that. And I'm working on my meditation practice lately as well. When we come back, 5 clues to knowing your path. This is the Wellness Prescription on 105.9 The Region. Stay with us.
Have a question for Dr. Claudia? Call us at 416-335-1059. Tweet us at 105.9 The Region or email us info@1059theregion.com. The Wellness Prescription with Dr. Claudia on 105.9 The Region.
You're listening to 105.9 The Region. Welcome back to The Wellness Prescription. Before the break, Tom and I were discussing spirituality and how we should make everyday tasks a sacrament. One burning question that I think we all have is, what is my path? How do we know that? What our path is?
Well, that's a tricky question. And if anyone tells you they know your personal path in life, don't believe them. And I say that because the path in life is really different for everybody. I mean, your path may be different from my path, may be different from a listener's path. And really, a path is really just finding this intersection of the things you're passionate about and really what you're good at. And when you kind of combine those things, this is what I like and this is what I'm pretty good at, your path and your purpose will soon follow. And honestly, it's not something that comes right away. It may take some time, but I think after a while, it will begin to click. Be aware of where you feel most alive during the day. Be aware of where you feel most down during the day or not really not connected. And I think in time, you can begin to discover that these are the things that kind of light my fire, that get my excited, that make me smile, make me feel good. That's a good clue that your path is in, you know, should head in that direction.
I find it fascinating because, you know, we associate our career with our life path, but I think those are two different things. Now, you can be in a job or a career that you don't like and become more spiritual and find things that you enjoy that make the job that much more interesting. Or some people are doing a career or embarked on a career that is definitely their life path. I feel like in your case, you kind of had a great career, but then you also made your spiritual journey part of your life path in that you write about it, you talk about it, you wrote a book about it.
Yeah, very true. And just to talk about the career a little bit, I think we all kind of get on that treadmill of the career with the career. And that treadmill eventually, you know, if you've ever run on a treadmill, you can pitch the treadmill so the climb gets a little steeper. And as we go through our career, we tend to progress to jobs that offer more money, but also come with it more responsibility, more pressure to possibly to deliver. I know in my own case, I made the call, you know, midlife, mid-career, to say, you know what? I honestly think I want to stop here. I'm kind of climbing up this mountain. And I don't think I want to go up the mountain much further because I see the people that have progressed beyond where I am, and I see their lives are, you know, filled with pressure, stress. They're working 60-hour weeks. So personally, I reached a mid-management level and said, you know what? I am pretty good right here. I'm going to stop at this point. I'm going to do the job to the best of my ability. But at a certain point, you have to, let me give an anecdote by David Brooks. He talks about two mountains in life. And the first mountain is that career mountain. And you climb up that mountain and you might enjoy the trip. But at a certain point, as you go up that mountain, it becomes time to come back down it. And I think once you come down the mountain on the other side, the second mountain awaits you. And that's where you begin to really pursue the things that you love, what you're passionate about, the things that, you know, light your soul.
Now, do you think that like the spiritual path or the spiritual journey is something that most people seek out when they're more mature? And do you encourage younger and younger individuals to kind of seek it out so that they can just be fulfilled much sooner?
Yes. A good point. I think many of us do, and I'm going to say it's roughly around the age of 50 where we kind of begin to realize, there's an Indian system where there's four stages of life. And in that second stage, we're pursuing career, we're pursuing advancement, social advancement, economic advancement. And at a certain point, you reach this stage of life where you begin to kind of want to step away from that a little bit. So I think that's inevitable. We all kind of reach that point. Ideally, there are some people that get stuck, and we know them, in that second stage and can't give up the career, and they don't know when to quit work, and they, you know, work till they drop. But ideally, yes, I think these ideas should take root when you're young. And I know I talked to my daughter, who's in her 20s. She is now in the corporate world. But she kind of needs that reminder, I believe, from time to time to, hey, take care of yourself, take care of your spiritual self. And that can be as simple as, you know, we talked about meditation earlier. There's lots of great meditation apps out there that can guide you through the process. But I think that's a great place to start to kind of get you in touch with this inner part of yourself. Another practice I should mention that's very simple is called a gratitude practice. And that's each morning or each night, think about the things that you're grateful for in your life, whether it's your significant other, the roof over your head, the car in your driveway even. But think of all the good that's in your life and give thanks for it. I know John Templeton, he was a guy who made his name in the financial world, but he preached this idea of have an attitude of gratitude. And he believed that the more we gave thanks for the good in our life, the more we attracted good. But yeah, that ideally is starting young so you don't kind of fall into that trap that I did, that 10, 15 years into your career, you wind up at a place where you say, hey, I'm doing good in my career, but this is just not working for me. Something's missing.
And you mentioned John Templeton. I was going to actually ask a question because in your book, you discussed that, you know, he has the 6 laws that are essential for living a righteous life. And 5 of those should be on our daily to-do list. Can you go over those with us?
I mean, the first one starts with an obvious one. It's the golden rule. It's something that's found in all religions. And it basically centers around treat others as you would like them to treat you. And I talked earlier about bringing spirituality into your daily life. I mean, that starts by greeting people that you meet with a smile, encouraging people if you see them having difficulty, praising them when it's appropriate. Treat others as you would like them to treat you. Point 2, really listen to those who talk to you. I mean, the greatest gift you can give another person is your attention. So when you're involved with someone in a one-to-one conversation, really listen. Don't just wait to talk. Really listen to what they have to tell you. Third rule, to be loved, love others. Again, this is the idea of giving and you will receive. Give love to others, you will receive it in return. 4, I just talked about a little while ago, give thanks and you'll have more to be thankful for. That's part of the gratitude practice. With that attitude of gratitude, the more you give thanks, the more you recognize the good in your life, the more it will come to you. And the 5th one is give to life and you'll find that life gives back to you. If you go out into the world, you know, being kind, being joyful, being appreciative of others, you will find that they return the favor as well. And the 6th point is you cannot be lonely if you help the lonely. And it's a little different than the other ones, but what a true statement that if you're lonely, the best thing you can do if you're feeling down is to reach out to another, be it a family member, a friend, and just let them know what's going on in your life.
That kind of sums up the essence of life, how we should be living our lives. And it makes me, you know, beg the question, is that what's really missing in this world right now with all of this like unrest that's going on? Do you think that if we just kind of focused right back down, brought it back down to those 6 simple points, add our spirituality, add our daily practices, as individuals, do you think that we would just be more harmonious with one another?
Right. It starts with the self. The ego tends to compare, to look out at others. But really, if you begin, you know, engaging the soul, really looking inside to your true self, I mean, it all starts at home. And I think that to make the world a better place, it's a cliche, but it really starts with you. It starts with you and what you're bringing to the world. Most of us, you know, we're not politicians, we're not, you know, business or social leaders, so we can't affect the large populace, but we can affect those immediately around us. And that starts by caring for, you know, we talked about paying attention to others. If there is someone that you really disagree with, say even on political matters, well, the best thing you can do is listen to them, pay attention to them. And while you may not agree with them, you can let them know that, you know, you hear their opinion. So yeah, it really starts on an individual basis. it's really one person, one step at a time.
And now with your book, what is the one message before I tell everybody how they can get your book, but what is the one message that you would like listeners to get out of reading the book?
I'll say this. I mean, the book, as you know, it covers a lot of different topics. It's all over the spiritual map and kind of veers off of spirituality a little bit to talk about, you know, some of the things we've talked about character and humility and such. But I will say this. I mean, I think what the book does is it offers a lot of keys. And what you have to do is find the keys that are going to open your lock. I mean, I believe in this book, you will find keys that are right for you. And then your job then is to take that next step. Take that key or keys, and it's probably keys, start opening that lock and do a little deeper dive. I mean, if you find that meditation is not right for you, I talk about another practice called centering prayer, very similar to meditation. You might find that works for you. I talk about, you know, spiritual literature throughout the book and some of the books I like. Find the book, find the person that talks to you. So I do think the book will offer you those keys, but it's up to you to take that next step and use those keys to open the lock within you.
I love that. And I agree with you a bazillion percent. Now, if listeners want to get a copy of the book, want to learn more about you, how can they do that?
Sure. If you just want to get a feel for the things I write about, I write a weekly column at the website Pathios. It's the same name as the book, Wake Up Call at Pathios. I put out a weekly column. You can sign up for a newsletter, have it delivered to your inbox. You can also learn more about me at tomrapsis.com. Right now, I'm talking about the book quite a bit and the stories behind the book. There's also a link to buy the book if you're interested, and that's Tom, R-A-P as in Paul, S-A-S.com. And I also have a Wake Up Call Facebook page if you're more interested in interacting via Facebook.
Well, I encourage everyone to get a copy of the book because it is very enlightening. You can always find me on Instagram at Claudia_Macchiella or my website, ClaudiaMacchiella.com. That's my show for this week. If you missed it, go to 1059theregion.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, Amazon, and Audible. I'm Dr. Claudia. Thank you for listening, and I hope this helps you live your best life.
The Wellness Prescription was brought to you by Healthy Planet. Order online at healthyplanetcanada.com or go online to find a location nearest you.